You have searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all of my ways. And before a word is on my tongue, you, Lord, know it completely. You hem me in behind and before, and you lay your hand upon me. And such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Psalm 139, verses 1 through 6. My confession? My overall confession is that you know everything, Lord, every little detail of my life, and because of you, I have life. That life is filled with joy, with laughter, with tears, with sorrow and grief. That life, for me to look at it, is beyond my understanding, in that by attempting to do that, I find that I would need to ask again and again, why, when, why, when, why did it change, when did it change, why to that, and a continuum of unanswered questions of which only you, knowing all of my life, could answer. Therefore in you I place my trust, all of my trust. Matthew Henry says God has perfect knowledge of us, and all of our thoughts and actions are open before him. It is more profitable to meditate on divine truths, applying them to our own cases and with hearts lifted to God in prayer, than with a curious or disputing frame of mind. That God knows all things is omniscient, that he is everywhere is omnipresent, are truths there acknowledged by all, yet they are seldom rightly believed in by mankind. And God takes strict notice of every step we take, every right step and every by step. He knows what rule we will walk by, what end we will walk toward, what company we will walk with. And when I am withdrawn from all company, he knows what I have in my heart. There is not a vain word, not a good word, but he knows from what thought it came and with what design it was uttered. Wherever we are under the eye and the hand of God. We cannot by searching find how God searches us out, nor do we know how we are known, for such thoughts should restrain us from sin. Psalm 139, where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the dawn, wings of dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. And if I say, surely darkness will hide me and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. My confession? Where can I go that you are not there, that consideration should not raise for fear in me, but bring comfort to me knowing that you are there? I get distracted. I follow when I should sometimes lead. I am silent when I should speak, and often speak when I should remain silent. And where I am, there you are. You are all around me, and all that is around me reminds me that you are there. For you, my sin is not hidden. By you, my rebellion is known, especially in the darkest of places, where I choose to forget that you are there, when perhaps only for a moment, so that I may please my sinful nature. And where I walk, often behind me is left a stain, a trail of tears. And when I confess, more often than not, they are all mine. As I look back and I see the choices I have made for what they were, rebellion, a means of looking in all the wrong ways, in all the wrong places, and with all the wrong people for what I needed, perhaps confirmation and love. There were times in looking back that I saw the light shining around me, and yet I chose to shuffle into the shadows instead of running towards the light. But for you, there are no shadows, for you are the light. John 1:4-5, in him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. Where you go and where you are, it is there. I have only the need to have eyes to see and ears to hear and a willing heart to do what is right by denying my sinful nature. For where you are, no matter what my circumstance, I can find comfort in knowing that you are there also. Matthew Henry says we cannot see God, but he can see us. The psalmist did not desire to go from the Lord. Whither can I go? In the most distant corners of the world, in heaven or in hell, I cannot get out of his reach. No veil can hide me from God, not the thickest darkness. No disguise can save any person or action from being seen in the true light by him. Secret haunts of sin are as open before God as the most open villainies. On the other hand, the believer cannot be removed from the supporting, comforting presence of his almighty friend. And should the persecutor take his life, his soul will the sooner ascend to heaven, and the grave cannot separate his body from the love of his Savior, who will raise it a glorious body. No outward circumstances can separate him from his Lord. While in the path of duty, he may be happy in any situation by the exercise of faith, hope, and prayer. Psalm 139, "For you created my inmost being, you knit me together in my mother's womb, and I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body, and all the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. And how precious to me are your thoughts, God! How vast is the sum of them! And were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. When I awake, I am still with you." Jeremiah 23 and 24 says of the secret places, "Who can hide in secret places so that I cannot see them?" declares the Lord. "Do I not fill heaven and earth?" declares the Lord. And from Proverbs 15 and 3, "The eyes of the Lord are in every place, observing evil and the good." My confession? "My creation you saw, Lord. Even darkness could not prevent you from seeing me, even when the world could not but for the swelling of my mother's belly. Nothing shall separate you from me, but my rebellion against you may separate me from you. I have only to speak your name, and what was no longer will be, for there, where there is light, the darkness must flee, not might, but must." From Amos 9 and 2, "Though they dig down to Sheol, from there my hand will take them, and though they climb up to heaven, from there I will pull them down." In the Barnes commentary on this, "Height or depth are alike, even to the omnipresent God. The grave is not so awful as God. The sinner would gladly dig through into hell, bury himself, the living among the dead, if so he could escape the sight of God. But thence, God says, my hand shall take them to place them in his presence to receive their sentence. Or if, like the rebel angels, they could place their throne in stars amid those of God, thence will I bring them down, humbling, judging, and condemning." From Psalm 139, "If only you, God, would slay the wicked away from me, you who are bloodthirsty. They speak of you with evil intent. Your adversaries misuse your name. Do I not hate those who hate you, Lord, and abhor those who are in rebellion against you? I have nothing but hatred for them, and I count them my enemies. Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts, and see if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way of everlasting." From Matthew Henry, "God's counsels concerning us and our welfare are deep, such as cannot be known. We cannot think of how many mercies we have received from him. It would help to keep us in the fear of the Lord all day long if, when we wake in the morning, our first thoughts were of him. And how shall we admire and bless our God for his precious salvation when we wake in the world of glory? Surely we ought not to use our members and senses, which are so curiously fashioned, as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but our immortal and rational souls are still more noble work and a gift of God. Yet if it were not for his precious thoughts of love to us, our reason and our living forever would, through our sins, prove the occasion of our eternal misery. How should we then delight to meditate on God's love to sinners in Jesus Christ, the sum of which exceeds all reckoning? Sin is hated, and sinners lamented by all who fear the Lord. And yet while we shun them, we should pray for them with God. Their conversion and salvation are possible. As the Lord knows us thoroughly, and we are strangers to ourselves, we should earnestly desire and pray to be searched and proved by his word and spirit. And if there be any wicked way in me, let me see it, and do thou root it out of me. The way of godliness is pleasing to God and profitable to us, and will end in everlasting life. It is the good old way. All the saints desire to be kept and led in this way, that they may not miss it, turn out of it, or tire in it. And my confession? But for God, for his forgiveness, for his grace, there would go I. Search me, God. Know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. And see if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way of everlasting. Amen.